is interested in what we're doing, and especially when it affects his kingdom. Praise God. We prayed last Sunday for strongholds to come down. And Friday night, in addition to Thursday, but Friday night in particular, my, what a powerful move of the Spirit of God. And I believe strongholds came down in the lives of those young people, as well as those of us who are a bit older, wiser, as Brother Cornejo terms it. But wow, what a powerful move of the Spirit of God. So we know the Lord desires to do that work. And I've asked Brother Cornejo today to share kind of a modern Acts 8, you know, where there were signs and wonders, and miracles, and revival and the power of the Lord. And then also how Philip made the contact and the connection with that Ethiopian, which resulted in his being baptized. And then we know, too, he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The hand of God being displayed in those ways is a powerful thing. And thank God that we are laborers together with God. You know, that's the amazing thing, that just a tremendous opportunity. So, Brother Cornejo, come and share with us today. God bless you.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. All right. Good morning. Amen. How many of you are still waking up? Amen. I'm grateful to be here with you this morning. And I'm honored to, like I said, to get to be with each and every one of you. I'm just going to talk. I don't know. I might end up getting excited, talk about miracles. And, you know, it's hard for me to just talk, you know, so I don't have like an in-between. That's the hard part for me, all right? So either you ask the right person or the wrong person to do Sunday school. I don't know, but we'll see how it goes. Amen. I want to talk to you for a brief moment, as Pastor mentioned, a little bit about the book of Acts chapter 8 and just kind of how to, and I know a lot of you have found different evangelism tools and ways to talk to people and to invite people and so on. And so I'm going to just kind of share a little bit of my own experiences, hopefully that'll encourage somebody. Is that all right? Amen. Let's ask God to be with us just for a moment. Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to be in this house. Pray in the name of Jesus that you would give us revelation and understanding here this morning, God, of what it is that you are wanting to do and how it is that you desire us, God, to reach this world. We thank you. We love you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Would you anoint my mind and loose my tongue, God, to speak your word? I thank you and I glorify you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. Praise God. Book of Acts chapter 8, if you can turn there with me, that would be great. Book of Acts chapter 8. And I want to just talk to you for a brief moment about, you know, just evangelism. And I think that evangelism has a lot to do, I'd say more to do with being in the Spirit than anything else. And I will explain. I grew up in church, and we would pass out cards, and we would pass out flyers. I know you guys have made flyers and cards and all that stuff, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. It brings the awareness to the community that the church is here and is a body of believers that's here for them. But I remember as a young person growing up, or a younger person, as I'm still young, amen, gaining wisdom. But as a young person growing up, you know, we'd pass out cards, we'd knock on people's doors, and when you knock on people's doors, you know, you, anyone ever knocked on someone's door? And we used to go into the projects, you know, down in Los Angeles, and so it wasn't the nicest of areas, and people just didn't open their door. And, oh, come in and have coffee and tea, you know, and whatever. It didn't work that way. We had to try and barge our way in, or, you know, we'd literally just slip the card through the door as they cracked it open. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we were in some crazy places, you know. But I remember growing up that way, and you'd see you'd hear the mom yell, "Hey, who is it?" You know, or tell the kid, "Go check the door." You know, like if we didn't hear them, then the kid would go out behind the blinds and look real quick and say, "Oh, you know, it's Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons or something." You know, or like, "Oh, dude, man, we messed up." You know, and we quickly learned, you know, to not be wearing suits when we're going out, to not carry our Bibles. Because the moment you do, people are like, "Ah, don't answer it," you know, or they act like nobody's home. And some of us maybe have done this to the people knocking on our doors before. Can get amen. All right. So I think that that's important to note that down. You know, I do think going door to doors, it's got value. You know, preaching on the streets has got value, and I wouldn't knock any of it or smash any of that stuff. I think it's good stuff, and it all, you've heard souls that have been won to the Lord through these things. But I think more importantly, and I learned this in Bible college, where they would tell us, we had one instructor, and he'd tell us, you know, I look for ways to be submitted. Look for ways to be submitted. And that has been my heartbeat. That has been my desire. And I'm not just talking about submitting to your pastor, although that is important. You can't necessarily submit to God if you're not submitted to your pastor, because God don't work that way. Amen? All right, so I don't need to preach about that. I think we're all on board. And, you know, but I remember he would tell us, I look for ways to be submitted to God. When I go out in the street and I evangelize and I just walk around, he said, so what I would do is, instead of sending, you know, instead of bringing a bunch of flyers or cards or whatever, he said, I would, and spending 8 hours in the street passing out cards and flyers, he said, I would spend my time in the sanctuary. And then as I walked out, I would look for where God was wanting me to go. Because you and I both know there are people that you encounter that are hungry and people that are not. People that say, well, you know, Sunday's booked up for me, you know, or, well, you know, I know you go to that church, that's great, but I'm go to this church and I do this, that, and the other. And so it's important that the people that we are encountering, that we're talking to, that we're building connections with, that they're people that are ready. They're people that are ripe, that are ready to come into the house of the Lord to receive something from God. So I want to read to you for a brief moment, verse 25 of the book of Acts, chapter 8. And let's go to verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. And so I'm going to get back to what I was talking to you about in a moment, about being led of the Holy Ghost. I need to get my timer out. Okay, here we go. Because now I realize I can talk about this all day, so I got to cut short. All right. So listen, the first portion of that scripture says, and they, when they had testified and preached the word, two things happened there. Testifying, testimonies, and they preach the word. Now, the reality of you preaching the word without testifying is very difficult. Has anyone ever just gone up to someone, maybe like Brother Mike, and you said, hey, you know what? Let me preach to you, Jesus. And you just started preaching. You're a sinner. You need to repent, and Jesus is the way. I mean, they're looking at you like, hey, bro, you know, you got the wrong guy, man. You know, this is not how it's going to work. Can I get amen? And I mean, they're looking at you cross-eyed, like, and what I've learned, or what I've developed on my prayer time and walking with God, is whenever someone gives me the opportunity, and you notice here in Alaska, people are usually friendly. That's a plus. I should say, compared to Los Angeles. Los Angeles, people don't look at you. If you look at somebody, they're like, what's up? I don't have any money. What do you want? And so when I went out to Missouri, and I'm living in Missouri, I'm walking around the grocery store. People are like, hey, how you doing? Good day. And I'm like, oh, yeah, good day. Praise God. Amen. You know, and I realized that people will actually talk to you here in Atlanta. I know this is very practical, but it has something to do with what I'm talking about. Because when people just give you a nod or, hey, how you doing? Or how's your day going? I mean, that is one conversation too long that they've given me in order for me to not say anything about Jesus. And I'll explain. I remember being in Chipotle in Michigan, and I remember I was talking to my wife right before we went to the Chipotle. I decided to eat healthy that day, and I might say this story again, all right, and during church, just preach with me, act like you never heard it, okay? Amen. So I remember walking to the Chipotle, but before that, I told my wife, I said, I want to see God do a miracle or fill somebody with the Holy Ghost outside of church. The reality is, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, the majority of miracles that took place happened outside of the building, right? Happened on the streets. And so you being plugged into the Holy Ghost, being plugged into the Spirit, is vital. If you want to have a book of Acts experience, then that means you've got to be plugged in like they were plugged in outside of the church every single day. Amen? And so I remember walking into the Chipotle. And I told my wife before, I want to see someone get the Holy Ghost outside of church. You know, I've seen them get the Holy Ghost inside church and receive miracles, and it's amazing. But I want to see something happen outside. And so we were in the Chipotle. I was ordering, and I had wore a kind of like a suit coat, like right here, like Brother Glover, and, you know, some jeans. And I was looking all right. I was looking good like him, you know, and I was looking nice, you know. And so and I remember he looked at me and said, hey, bro, you're not from around here, are you? He was a cash register guy, and he was ringing me up, and I said, no, I'm not. I said, how can you tell? He said, well, you know, I could tell just by what you're wearing, man. You know, you're looking good. You don't look like you're from around here, you know? How many of you from Alaska, you can tell that I'm not from around here, right? Because I'm walking around with my suit coat on or whatever, you know? You're like, bro, you're not from around here, dude. And so that's what he was telling me, and I was like, no, I'm not, man. He said, well, what do you do? Why you dress like that? Now, I'm not telling you you need to dress a certain way, but I am telling you this, that I remember when I was in Bible college, I'd just wear a t-shirt and whatever. And my senior year, I got convicted about that, I guess. I still wear t-shirts, but I remember, you know, I was traveling and I put on a suit coat and some jeans, some nice shoes, a button-up shirt. And I began praying for people on the train, literally on the train on my way down to my house to go and preach down in the Southern California area. There was a guy across from the train. He was sitting down. And he was just kind of looking over, glancing at me back and forth for about an hour, seriously. And I was just there, and I was just reading a book and just, you know, just enjoying my time on my phone and going through Bible studies or whatever. And he finally looked at me, and he kind of went like this, waved to me. And I walked on over. I said, yeah, can I help you? He said, are you a preacher? Just like that. I mean, he could tell just because the way I looked. I'm telling you, it's serious. It's a real deal. And he said, I want what you've gotten. And he had already received the Holy Ghost, but he needed a breakthrough. And so I laid hands on him in the middle of the train, didn't wait for a service. That's where we go wrong sometimes. We pull out the card and, well, let me pray for you at the service. I don't remember, you know, Peter and John saying, hey, let me add you to the prayer list. No, no, no. That's not how they did it. That's not Book of Acts. What they did is they said, let's pray right now. They told the lame man, silver and gold have I none. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And the man began walking. See, to be apostolic and to be a soul winner means to do it on the spot right then and there. People won't know what you're talking about if you don't give them a little taste. Amen. And so I remember telling that guy what you need and lay my hands on him. And he started speaking in tongues. And we had a great time on the train right there in the middle of everybody just sitting down, just having a great time. And I remember coming back to my story in Michigan that the man was looking at me. He said, bro, you know, what's going on? And I said, well, I'm a preacher. And instead of telling him where I have gone and where I have been, and I'm going to be real transparent. Am I being videoed? No, probably. All right, well, whatever. It doesn't matter. Okay. Oh, well. And so I remember, you know, as I've gone and evangelized a little bit more, my story has changed a little bit. When I talk to people, people that don't know about Jesus, I remember what I would tell them is, you know, well, I'm an evangelist, and we get to travel, and I've been here and been there and been there. And the Lord convicted me not too long ago and said, hey, what happened to what you used to tell them before when you hadn't been to all these places? And what I would tell them is I would just tell them a miracle. So, yeah, I'm an evangelist. And I'd say, well, check out this miracle I saw last week. That's literally all it takes. I know it's very practical, but it's very real, because the Bible says they had testified. And when you testify about a miracle to somebody, their faith rises. They realize that if you've got faith for something else to happen, then you can have faith for their miracle at that moment and at that time. And if you, what you're preaching is real, then they'll begin believing, because you'll begin to lay hands and things will begin to happen. Gonna get an amen. And so I remember telling that man, I tell him about a miracle that I saw about a week or two before that, and began to testify about a girl getting out of the wheelchair and so on, and just the power of God. And his eyes got so big, and he looked at me and was like, wow. He said, guess what? God has woken me up in the middle of the night last two nights and told me to read the Gospels. He said, I'm not even a Christian. He said, I don't know what's going on, but I just feel compelled to what you're doing. I want to do what you're doing. And I said, good. And I said, you know, well, God's going to touch you and so on. And I walked away. Because I wanted to see, you know, if he was real or what was going on. And I sat down, began to eat my meal. And in the middle of his shift at his job in Chipotle, he walked out from the register. He came up to me and said, hey, man, would you tell me more about what you're talking about? I want to know more about what you're talking about. And so all it started with was a testimony. You want to learn to witness to people? Testify. Don't give them a Bible study. People, the reality is people don't believe in the Bible anymore. They don't believe in the name of Jesus as God anymore. They don't believe that stuff anymore. You got to prove to them why the Bible is real. Well, instead of going through all of that, going through all that trouble, just begin testifying about a miracle. I'm telling you, it'll begin to work. And so I told the man, well, you need Jesus. I said, as a matter of fact, you need the Holy Ghost. And he said, all right, what is it? And I explained, I said, it's when the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you. And when he does, you'll begin to speak with other tongues. And so you got to realize, a lot of us, we stop there and say, well, I want you to come to my church. And I want you to come next Sunday. And I want you to come to my group and this and that and the other. And then we lose them in between those days. And so I remember telling this guy, I said, you know what, man, I want you to go. You're going to get the Holy Ghost right now. He said, right now? I said, yes, right now. And he said, all right, what do you want me to do? I mean, the guy was excited. He was amped up. He had just heard about what Jesus can do. That's the key. When I give someone a card, you know, I do carry around cards, but when I give someone a card, I make sure that I've talked to them for a good little while. I make sure that I've built a connection with them. And I believe that that's what they did here in the book of Acts. I mean, these people knew who Peter and John were. They understood. They lived in smaller villages, but they understood who they were. They understood the God that they walked with. They understood Jesus had walked with them, and they had walked with Jesus. And so when this man told me, he said, I want the Holy Ghost, I said, all right, well, God will fill you right now with the Holy Ghost. He said, all right, then let's do this. I said, well, let's step outside the Chipotle for a moment. We were right outside the front. I kid you not, his boss was looking at him like this, like, come on, man, you're on the clock, bro. You got to come back. And I'm watching this guy as he's there, and I'm telling him, you got to repent and ask God for forgiveness. So he lifts up his hands. He starts asking God for forgiveness. And in the next few moments, literally within a matter of seconds, my wife and I begin to lay hands on him and begin to speak in other tongues. And the man, with tears coming down his eyes, begins to speak in other tongues right outside of the Chipotle. That's the power of God moving throughout this world. That's the way that God desires to move through you. It's not very difficult. It's real simple. Testify, and people's faith will be lifted, and anything can happen anywhere, not just in the church or not just in a Bible study, but absolutely anywhere in this world. And that man absolutely believed. I remember watching his face, and he looked at me. I asked him, how do you feel? He said, I've never felt anything like that before. I'm telling you, that's the book of Acts. Then at that point, I can preach to him. You can't preach to nobody if they don't believe what you're talking about. So I tell people, man, I'm getting into my other messages for the week, Pastor. Oh, this is all bad. But I'm telling you, see, and you can talk to people about, you know, Jesus all you want, but the reality is they're not going to listen if they don't believe it. You see, people had come before Jesus onto the scene and into the villages and into Jerusalem and claimed to be the Messiah, absolutely. And they'd claim to have the right words and the answers to life and the words of life before Jesus. It wasn't something new. But when Jesus came, the reason they would fight with this theology is because people had come like that before and blasphemed the Lord and so on and said they were God and all that. And there was no miracles to back it up. But when Jesus came onto the scene, there was miracles to back it up. That's why testimonies are so important. That's why testimony service or walking out there and telling people about what Jesus did for you is extremely important. Amen? And so that's my own way of connecting with people. I think it's very biblical, as I've just explained to you. And then the Bible says, and they preach the word. The other thing is, in verse 26, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. And says he read Esaias the prophet. Now here's probably one of the most important portions of scripture in this chapter. It says in verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. This is important because Philip, he could, and I'm, like I said, I'm not knocking, you know, passing out cards or flyers at all. I do the same thing. I still do it. Pastor and I were doing it the other day as we were there at the community center, and we were passing out some cards to connections that we were making. We're talking to people, trying to make connections, passing out cards. What I'm telling you today is that Philip was plugged into the Holy Ghost. His time was plugged in to what God was doing. And so when it came down to it, instead of him reaching out to 100 people that weren't ready, God led him to one that was going to start revival in Ethiopia. You see what I'm talking about? There's a difference when you pray for the right people, when you are led by the Holy Ghost. And so my message to you this morning is get a hold of God. In the morning time or in the daytime, whenever. Get a hold of God, of course, for your own relationship, but also to do the will of God. To go where God wants you to go. Can you imagine spending hours here in the sanctuary early in the morning? Just try it. Somebody, I just challenge you to try it this coming week or maybe even tomorrow. Come into the sanctuary in the house of the Lord and begin to pray and talk to God and say, God, I'm going to go where you want me to go today, but I want to be plugged into what you're doing. And then when you leave after a couple of hours being in the sanctuary, entertaining the presence of God, the Spirit of the Lord is going to say, hey, her, go talk to them right now. Say, him, go. He's got a sickness in his body. And I'll explain to you. I mean, that stuff happens all the time. That's exactly what happened to Philip. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord led him to the eunuch and he went. But he was plugged in to what God was doing. He was plugged in to where the Spirit was sending him. We have got to be plugged in. I see disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ here right now that when we get plugged in, I mean, less of him, less of us and more of him. We get plugged into what God is doing, and he's going to send us to where he wants us to go. I believe it. That's just the way that it is. My father-in-law and I, we were in Hawaii, and I remember that we, is this all right? I'm just going to tell some stories. Is that okay? All right. Okay, cool. I told you. I like telling stories. And, you know, my father-in-law and I, we were in Hawaii, and when we were there, I remember, you know, we had seen some great miracles, and we had gone to this house, this lady's house. She was moving out to go to Florida, and she had someone there that was helping her move. And the lady that was sitting there who didn't own the house, she was sitting there with the beer in her hand, and they were just moving things, packing them up and all that good stuff. And we had actually gone because my father-in-law had bought a car off of them, and now he's going to buy a freezer off of them for, you know, really, really cheap, a good price. And so he said, hey, why don't you come with me, help me load up the van? And before you knew it, they were literally packing the entire van out with frozen meats and frozen this and that. I mean, it was a blessing. It really was. But I remember as we were there, my father-in-law was on the, I felt like it was tag team. Like he was like, go. And we just tag team. I was in the garage and I was talking to the lady with the beer, and there was two guys there. I was telling them about a miracle. I mean, I'm telling you, I didn't preach to them Jesus at all. I didn't give them a Bible study. I didn't do any of that. You know, hey, let me tell you about the book of Acts. No, they'd have been like, ah, forget it, bro. We're good, man. And so I went over there and I was just telling her about a miracle. My father-in-law was on the inside telling the lady on the inside about a miracle. And we're just, man, and I want you to realize what God did. He healed this person's body. And we're just talking about what God had done. Really simple. And after that, we left it alone. And as we're walking away, I remember all of a sudden, and I'm telling all my stories, this is not good. As we're walking away, I remember all of a sudden the lady said, well, because I told her, I said, I want you, if you know anybody that's sick in their body, to bring them down to my father-in-law's church. Because here's the reality. People already have churches. Right? I don't know how many people we met that said, oh, yeah, I just yesterday. Well, I go to the Baptist church. I'm, you know, do this and I do that and the other or whatever. Right? And so I tell them, look, don't worry about what church you go to. I just want you, if you have someone that's sick, you know, someone that's sick in their body, bring them to the church because there's miracles happening at this church. And so that's what I told her. And she said, all right, you know, I will. And so my father-in-law and I began to walk away. And she got up and she said, well, actually, she stood there. She kept sitting there, as I remember. She said, well, I got a sickness in my body. And that was the moment. That was just like, let's do this. Now, I told her what we constantly tell people. I said, all right, well, as I'm walking away, well, I'll keep you in my prayers. God bless you. How many of us have done that before? Raise your hand for me, please. Right? I'm going to add you to the prayer list. They're going to intercede for you. They're going to pray for you. But I'm telling you, the disciples didn't do that. It doesn't make sense. And so then all of a sudden I said, all right, well, I'll pray for you. God bless you. And we walked away. And as I'm grabbing the handle of the car door, the Lord says, hey, you've been preaching about seeing miracles outside the church. Well, why don't you start doing it? All right. Yeah, absolutely. Let go of the car door. And I was like, all right. I said, hey, we'll pray for you right now. And I'm telling you, I go from 0 to 100 in like 0.2 seconds. I don't know how it happens. You know, first I'm trying to get away, and then I'm in the middle of it, and before I know it, I'm, you know, way over my head. And as I was there, I'm telling the lady, hey, God can do something for you right now. And she said, all right. I mean, she called my bluff, you know. If I was joking around, she was being serious. And so she put the beer down. She stood up, said, all right, what do you want me to do? I said, all right, come on over here. Stand right here. I said, what's the problem? I said, I have a pain in my back, and you know, it's been there for a couple of years. I said, all right, God's going to heal you right now. You believe that? She said, yes. I said, do you want Jesus to heal you? She said, yes, I do. I said, lift up your hands. God's going to do it. She lifted up her hands. We begin to pray in the name of Jesus. I commanded the sickness to leave, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible does not say to pray for the sick. The Bible says that Jesus said, go and heal the sick, because you have power to heal the sick. He didn't say, Lord, you know, ask the Lord, Lord, would you heal their body? Would you touch? No. It said real simple, heal the sick. So go, and when you do it, command them to be healed in Jesus' name. And that's it. It's over. Amen. And so I went over and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command your body to be healed and that sickness, that pain to leave your back. And she looked up at me and she was just worshiping it. And I remember her eyes got so big with tears coming down her eyes. Serious. I mean, she didn't know much about Jesus. She didn't know much about the Bible. She had just tried Jesus for one moment and she had heard the testimony. It all started with the testimony. And so she heard the testimony. Her hands are up and she said, oh my goodness, the pain's gone. I don't feel it anymore. The power. What happened? Oh my goodness. And she was so healed that she said, would you pray that I get $1 million? And I said, well, I'm telling you, that's some serious faith. And I said, well, let me tell you, when I get that one working for me, you'll be my second $1 million prayer person that'll receive that blessing. And so as she was there, this is the amazing part of the story. As we were there, I mean, this is not the church. We hadn't sung any songs. We hadn't prayed, you know, hours on end in the sanctuary, ushering in the presence of God. There was no message preached. It was real simple. Testify, watch God do something. I want you to try that. I want you to think about that. Go down to Spinards or go down to Fred Meyer. Fred Meyer is a great place. Serious. That's like the community town center right there. Everybody goes in and out of there. And you're there and you meet the same people all the time. And ask the Lord, Lord, what's their problem? What's their situation? The Lord will begin to flow through you in the word of knowledge. And you'll begin to say, hey, you know what? There's something going on in your life. There's fear you've been dealing with, or this and that and the other. And when you feel those things going on in your mind, don't run away. Yeah, don't run away. I'm telling you, it's not easy to start out doing. But this is the way I reason it out in my mind. And I'll tell you a couple more stories if I have time. But this is the way I reason it out in my mind. What I do is I say, look, if God's telling me something, I'll say, well, either I cannot go. And if I don't go, you know, thinking that it's me, right, telling myself to go pray for people, that don't ever happen. I'm not telling myself to go pray for the blind lady in the front of the church. And I'll tell you that story in a minute. But, you know, I mean, it just doesn't happen that way, right? Usually we're in the back, like trying to get away from it, you know. And so that's number one. But the other thing is, what I'll do is I'll say, well, God, if it's you, I don't want to, you know, go ahead and stay here and potentially be disobedient. So I'd rather go. And if it's not you, well, at least I went anyway. You know, I might look foolish, but oh, well, I wasn't disobedient to the voice of God. It's about obedience. And so I remember that, you know, and just and thinking that we've got to go ahead and we've got to walk that way and talk that way. And you can go down to Fred Meyer and people will begin to go ahead and you they'll begin to pop out in your mind and in your spirit, and you'll begin to know what's going on in their lives. It's exactly how it works. So as I was there, I remember this lady in the garage, same story. And this lady was about 15 feet away from that miracle that just took place with the pain left that lady's body. She was the owner of the house, but she was a Jewish lady. And so she didn't believe in Jesus as the healer, as Messiah, as God. She didn't believe like you and I believe. And so she was there about 15 feet away. She said, wait, hold on. She stopped everybody. My father-in-law was there. I was there. We're just looking around. We're worshiping God. And she said, wait, hold on. She said, I felt that from over here. You got to remember, this lady didn't believe in Jesus like you and I believe in Jesus. She wasn't an avid Sunday church goer, you know. It wasn't part of her DNA. And so she's there. She said, wait. I felt that from over here. And so she walked on over and she kind of nudged her friend out of the way and said, all right, me next. Pray for me next. I'm thinking in my head, it doesn't get any easier than this. I'm telling you, look, if you're in the right place at the right time, you bring the testimonies of Jesus Christ into that atmosphere, then the Lord will begin to do things. The Lord will begin to move on your behalf and things will begin to happen. That lady said, well, I've got a sickness, 15 years of arthritis pain in my back, in my hips, and in my legs. I want Jesus to heal me right now. I said, lift your hands and Jesus is going to do it. She lifted her hands and in that next few moments, as God is my witness, it didn't take an hour, it didn't take a week, it took just but a few seconds with her hands lifted up and tears coming down her eyes. She went like this. Oh my goodness. The pain is completely gone. The pain is completely gone. I'm telling you that that's the power of Jesus Christ that's living inside of us. That's living inside of you. And it's going to reach this city. It's going to reach this state if we'll believe God to do it. Would you clap your hands unto Jesus one more time? You know that the disciples connected with these people. The Bible actually says that some of the disciples, the apostles, they stayed there in that area where they had seen the miracles and they taught those people for a year or 2 years. The Bible says that. Now, I know we got jobs and we got things going on. I understand not everyone's, you know, going out just preaching the gospel, and that's, you know, you got jobs and you got to live. I understand that. But you're going to meet somebody, you're going to pray for them, and that's only going to be the beginning. Amen? It's only going to be the beginning. Staying in contact with these people, getting to meet them, going to their home or inviting them over and bringing them into the house of the Lord and teaching them more of what they've got. I always just tell people when they receive a miracle like that, I'll try to tell them, especially if I'm going to stay in that area for a little while, I'll either try to plug them into a church right away because I don't always stay in the same area, or I'll stay in contact. I'll get their number and I'll begin to preach to them, begin to teach them and so on and talk to them and try to stay in contact with them best I can, help them and teach them about baptism. And what I'll tell them is, hey, I want to talk to you more about what happened. That's all you have to say. You don't have to say, hey, I want to give you a Bible study, because remember, these people are still skeptical. These people are still a little bit, oh, I believe, but I mean, that's, but then I have my tradition back home that my family grew up with. All you got to do is say, hey, can I talk to you a little bit about what happened? Real simple. It's just a little bit of wisdom. You know, you just use the right words and you get right on in and God will do the rest. And so I believe that it's important, like I said, to stay plugged into the Holy Ghost, to what God is wanting to do. I've got so many other stories. I'm trying to pick the right ones in my mind here, but I love this. I remember there was a lady, and like I said, I'm getting all in my messages here, so you guys got to bear with me. I got a couple other services to preach. Anyways, all right. I remember there was a lady about a couple months ago, and she went to a church service, and as she went to a church service, what happened was, I love this, because her neighbor found out that she was diagnosed with brain cancer. And when she'd been diagnosed with brain cancer, she was only given a year to live. Well, the neighbor was a normal churchgoer, but the neighbor wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. But she told that lady, she said, "Hey, you know, I heard about, you know, the cancer or whatever." She said, "If you come to my church, they can pray for you. Yeah, God will touch you. God will heal you." That's all she said. It wasn't, you know, I'm telling you, it's really easy. It's real simple. You know, the practicality of it is really, really simple. "Hey, how you doing? My name is Jesse," you know. And then Brother Mike starts talking back to me. And, "Oh, yeah, yeah, man, you know, hey, where are you from?" You know, and so on. And all of a sudden, I mean, if I get that far to tell them my name and where I'm from, I'm giving them a miracle testimony. That's it. It's over. You talk to me 1 second too long. That's it. And so you start talking, "Hey, man, check this out." I mean, whether they asked or not, I don't care. "Check this out." And you start telling about a miracle. If you haven't seen any miracles, tell them about the miracles that people preach about. "Hey, this preacher was preaching about this miracle and this and that happened. Man, God could do anything, right?" And they're like, "Well, yeah, 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 absolutely." And then they'll tell you, "Well, so-and-so's sick in their body," and so on and so forth. My brother actually, I'm kind of diverting here stories, but my brother actually used to go to people's houses and knock on doors like we do and knock on doors and pass out flyers. But he wouldn't pass out flyers. He told me, he said, "I would go knock on doors, and when they would open the door," he said, "I would ask, 'Excuse me, I'm from this church here. My name is Brother James, and I want to know if there's anyone sick in this house.'" Now, that's some serious faith. I'm serious. I know this is kind of practical, intertwined with the spiritual, but it takes faith to do this, to walk like they walked. And the most important part about what they were doing, before you asked me to talk about this, Pastor, I had actually read the book of Acts chapter 8 that morning, which is really amazing how God was orchestrating all this. But the most important thing the Lord spoke to me about was they were in the Spirit. They were in the Spirit. Absolutely. And so what the enemy is trying to do is get you to get out of the Spirit. You ever notice that? Man, on my way sometimes Sunday morning, I mean, just a flood of thoughts or this or that or whatever I've got to do or don't have to do just hits me, you know? Or I pray and have a good old prayer meeting, and then I get out there, and all of a sudden, before you know it, the enemy is trying to get me out of the Spirit. And there's someone that's needing a breakthrough. There's someone out there that's needing something from God. Amen? It's all about being plugged in. I remember when we were in Ketchikan. I don't know how much time I got. All right, I'll finish up. I remember we were in Ketchikan, and we were preaching there for Brother Jeff Glover, and I love them. Amen. How many of you love them? All right, cool. So I'll make sure. Okay, little brother. Amen. Is that what he said? And so as we were preaching for them, we love them so much. They're amazing people. And I remember, though, you know, as we were there, we had several services set up and scheduled. And I went to go and just, you know, to the community center just to go and kind of just work out, but really to go and try and connect with people is what I went for. And so I found this guy, and I started talking to him about the miracles that happened. Same thing, you know, it doesn't change. I've talked to people about miracles on the bus, on the train, on the plane. And seriously, I mean, they'll start speaking in tongues and so on. I mean, it's wild. Anyways, and so I remember talking to this guy in the gym, and I was telling him, "Yeah, I'm a preacher," and I'm telling him about miracles. And he said, "Hey, would you mind coming?" It was a local charismatic church in that area. And he said, "Would you mind coming and preaching at our church on Friday morning?" He said, "The homeless people, the pastor's giving me the keys. I open the door for the homeless people, and I usually will go ahead and give them donuts and coffee, and I'll go ahead and have them, you know, just come on in, and I'll give them a sermon or whatever for 30 minutes or something like that, just to do something nice for them. You know, it's real cold out there and so on, and they're sleeping on the streets and whatever." And he said, "Would you mind coming and preaching?" I said, "Yeah, absolutely. No problem. I'll be there, you know." And we don't have to be scared of that. If, you know, they don't do it the way we do it, or it's not one of our churches, we don't have to be scared of that. Amen? Because I got the truth. You give me the chance to preach, I'm going to preach it. Amen. Absolutely. Let's give the Lord a round of applause for that. That's all right. And so I remember going on that early morning, and it was an early morning, about 6 or so is when the service was. I mean, it was crazy. Anyways, and so we went, and I was preaching, and one person came up, got filled with the Holy Ghost right there in the middle of that service, started speaking in tongues, and the power of God was moving. Amen. Give the Lord a round of applause for that. It's all right. And I remember following him out because I wanted to try to be ethical and have integrity and, you know, not say, hey, I know we're in this church, but come on over to this other church, you know. So I just went to my car and act like I was leaving. And I watched the guy walk down and walk out. And then I just got out of my car and went over to where he was and started talking to him, inviting him to church. And, you know, later on, I brought him to church on Sunday. And I remember him just getting touched from God and so on and so forth. But I'm trying to tell you here that it doesn't matter where you are. God's going to connect you somewhere if you want to be connected. If you're willing to kind of reach out outside of your comfort zone and go, you know, I've heard preachers say, go to the store, not to buy groceries, but to go and be a light. And then as you're going and you're being a light, you're talking to people about Jesus and about miracles, buy your groceries in the meantime. Go get gas, you know, but don't do it to go get gas. Go do it so that way you can talk to somebody about Jesus. And as you do, and you know what I do? I pull out my church cards as a last resort. I want you to try that. I really want you to try that because I don't think they had cards in the book of Acts. I'm not knocking the cards. Trust me. I have church cards. I understand. But I'll use those as a last resort to make sure that I'm being led by the Holy Ghost to say what God wants me to say. Is this all right? Is this okay? I don't have a lot of time to go into all kind of other things, but I'm telling you that I just want to give you a couple of stories on just how to, on just what to talk about. It's real simple. It's in the Bible. The Bible says they testified and preached the word. You want to preach a Bible study. You want to teach them the word of God. Testify. Bring a testimony into their life. Amen. And God will allow you to preach the word in their life. Amen. I will talk to you more. Throughout this week, I did my best to try not to creep into the other messages here and still talk about what we needed to talk about. But I want you to try that throughout this week, to pray in the morning, God, lead me to some. I used to pray, and I still pray that, Lord, would you send somebody my way, put me in to cross someone's path that I would go ahead and minister to today. And I guarantee you, God, as you begin to do that and you begin to pray that, you will be walking by and you'll just be doing your normal day. And God will say at your job, hey, see Susie over there that you always talk to or whatever? I want you to go pray for her. And then God will tell you she's sick in her body. Oh, yeah, he's done it to me a gazillion times. And I'm like, oh. Now first you want me to go pray for her, God. Now you want me to tell her that she's sick? You know? And then if she's not sick, how will I look? Right? Some of you are looking at me like, that's crazy, bro. Well, that's just how it works. And so you can use a little bit of wisdom, right? Now I've gotten a little bit bolder, and I'll just say, well, the Lord said this, you know. But when I didn't know for sure, and I would just reason it out. You know, I'm just giving you a real practical lesson here. And I would reason it out in my mind. I would say the same thing. Well, either I could not do it and be disobedient, potentially be disobedient, or I could do it. And go ahead and it be God and actually, or even if it wasn't God, at least I did it anyways in my desire to be obedient to God, right? Amen. And so, you know, people, you know, you'll go ahead and people will be sick in their body. You'll walk up and say, and I would say this. I remember a particular time the Lord told me, go ahead and walk up to that lady. It was a Saturday morning. I was in prayer in the sanctuary. I didn't want to talk to nobody. He said, go. There's three ladies up there. That one's sick in her body, and I want to do something. Go ahead and pray for it. That's all he said. So I'm like, oh, no, God, please, no, no, not right now. I'm trying to pray, you know. I even try to justify it, like I'm trying to pray and talk to you. You know what I'm talking about? And so there I was, and I'm like pacing the floor, doing that whole thing. God, is it really you? Is it not? You know, oh, Lord, please. All that good stuff. You guys know what I'm talking about. And so I remember all of a sudden I just reasoned it out the same way that I told you. And I said, well, I'm going to go. I'm going to give it a shot. And I walked up to her. Now, then, like I said, back then I wasn't as confident as I am now. And so now I might just say, hey, boom, you've got this in your body or whatever. But back then you can use a little bit of wisdom, you know, and this. If you're learning this, if you're just now walking into this, you know, walking in the Spirit like this and God speaking to you, and he will do it. I promise you, if you open yourself up, God will speak to you this way, okay? And I would walk up and I'd say, hey, you know, my name's Jesse, and I'd shake the hand and just try and meet them real quick. And they, you know, they were in the middle of praying, wiping their tears. I'm like, oh, man, Lord, I hope you're, you know, I hope it's really you, you know? And I'd say, well, I'd ask, do you have a sickness in your body? Now, the Lord already told me what was going on, but because I was a little bit unsure, if I could just be practical, all right? Is this helping somebody? Is this okay? Okay. I'm just feeling to be practical for a moment. All right. And because I was a little bit unsure, I just say, well, do you have a sickness in your body? And then she'd say, and I remember that lady said, yes, yes, I do. And I, then the confidence came on and I said, well, yeah, the Lord told me you had a sickness in your body, you know. And then you can be all confident in the Holy Ghost there. Does everybody understand what I'm talking about? And so I told her, yes, the Lord told me. Now that gave her confidence that God was speaking to me. Amen. And that God was going to do something. And so I remember I told her, I said, well, the Lord's going to heal your body. He told me you had a sickness in your body. He's going to do it. What's the problem? And she said, well, I got 25 years of a slipped disc pain in my back, and it's still like that right now. I said, all right, well, lift your hands. God's going to do it. We begin to pray. Now, here's the deal. She told me that only half the pain had left her body, left the left side of her body after we prayed. I asked her. The problem is we don't ask people. I know I'm going for. I'm sorry. I'm going to stop right now. We don't ask people how they feel after we pray, and we don't do that. Because we're afraid. Amen. Can I get amen? We're like, oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We run out the door, you know. Thank you, Jesus. Hoping that they find us somewhere in town to tell us, you know, they were healed or whatever. Or if they weren't, that we don't see them anymore, you know, or whatever. I'm just being real. I'm telling you the thoughts that go through my mind, okay? Maybe you guys are more spiritual than I am. I don't know. Anyways. And so, you know, we'll go on like that, and sometimes we do that. So I asked her, I said, excuse me. And she, I mean, she was all in the Holy Ghost, oh, Lord, you know, getting ready to roll on the floor. And I just kind of tapped her. I'm serious. That's no joke. I just, excuse me. Can I talk to you for a moment? I'm sorry, bro. You sat in the front, And so, I call it a splash zone, you know. Anyway, and so she looked at me, and she said, you know, yes, what's going on? I said, let me talk to you for a moment. Because we don't stop them and talk. See, Jesus, when he prayed for the man and as he put the clay on his eyes, he said, how do you see? He asked them, how are you doing? Right? Then the man was able to tell him, well, I see men as trees. Now, if he didn't ask him how he was doing, the man would have went away half healed. Jesus would have never done it again. Can I get an amen? Everybody understand what I'm talking about? And so the lady said, well, the pain has left the left side of my body. I said, okay, good. Now we're going to pray again that the rest of it leaves the other side of your body. Because Jesus went ahead and placed his hands in the clay on the blind man's eyes a second time. So if Jesus did that, I'm going to do the same thing. Amen? You got to read the Bible, know what's going on, how the miracles were done. And so I went over and I prayed for her again. In Jesus' name, I command the pain to leave, the rest of the pain. And she went out speaking in tongues and going on. And this time she was really rolling on the floor and stretching out and doing this and all this stuff to her back. And I'm serious. And she was just like, oh, praise God, and speaking in tongues. And so once again, I, excuse me. I tapped on her again. I wasn't trying to be rude. I let her have a time in the Holy Ghost and worship God. And I told her, I'm going to let you go ahead. You can worship God here in a moment. But I just want to know, how do you feel? It's really practical, right? I know. But it's spiritual. Think about it. Because the enemy can walk away in fear, you know? Versus, and if it doesn't happen, you got to understand this. If it does, I'm so sorry. Okay. If it doesn't happen, you got to understand that you are not the one that does the miracle. Can I get an amen? I am not the one that does the miracle. And so I have vowed to God, I told him this several years ago. I said, God, I will do what you tell me to do, when you tell me to do it, how you tell me to do it. But I just want you to know that if it goes wrong, I will not take the blame. Yeah, praise God. And I said, and when it goes right, I will not take the credit because you're the one that does it, God. I'm just an opportunity for God to do it. You're just an opportunity for God to do it. Amen? Amen. Let's all stand right now, and I'm going to bring Pastor up, and he can do what he's got to do. I hope this was somewhat beneficial to us and walking in the Spirit. The most important thing, when you carry those cards around, when you're ready to tell somebody about Jesus, is being plugged into the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. Pastor, would you give the Lord a big round of applause?
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank the Lord. We're going to pray in just a moment, but let me encourage you, as Brother Cornejo said, testify. Now, Brother Rick had the healing touch from cancer how many years ago? How many? 6 years ago. Sister Annette healed of cancer how many years ago?
Two years ago.
It's been 10 years for me. 10 years since my surgery, my kidney taken out, and the cancer's gone. Okay. Does that get too old to testify about? Yeah. You just say, there are people in our church that have been healed of cancer. Amen. There are people in our church been healed of asthma. People in our church been healed of, you know, and we're not lifting up the church. I guess we need to clarify that. We're not lifting up the church. We're lifting up the Lord. Amen. And so we maybe change it. People I know have been healed. And I've seen the miracle. Don't feel like you've got to have something that happened yesterday to testify about. Go ahead and testify about what Sister Esther getting up out of the wheelchair. How many years ago was that? Oh, my. There's a lady in church that I know that got up out of a wheelchair, ran around the church. Praise God. Amen. Amen.
She's still walking today. You don't understand. People get out of wheelchairs and get back in them, but she's still walking 30 years on faith. Somebody clap your hands to Jesus. That's 30 years of a miracle continually. Amen. Brother Abbott's still alive here today. It's still faith. Every day is a step in faith. Every day is another step as God is doing the miracle.
Oh, yes. Praise God. Praise God. So the miracles keep going. The healings keep happening because these signs shall follow them that believe. Praise God. You're a believer? Turn to somebody and tell them that. You're a believer? Amen. Praise God. So God wants to do the signs. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray in just a moment, but I read a statement that said God 100% will not answer the prayers that you don't pray. 100% he will not answer the prayers you don't pray. So go ahead and pray and believe the Lord. Praise God. And the work that he will do. Very quick, just excitement here in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. A missionary meeting under a tree and in Africa, and the witch doctor cursed the tree, and it died. And the missionary said, I'm gonna pray that the Lord resurrect that tree. And he laid hands on it. But before he did, he told the Lord, it's not my reputation at stake. It's not my reputation that needs to be, you know, at work here. So he laid hands on the tree, and the Lord brought the tree back to life. It gave fruit twice as much as it normally does. Oh, that's what the Lord can do. Chandamalaba koshatayama. Hatsahalalama katalaboha. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Good to see you, Rob. Praise God. Amen, amen. Now, obviously, we have some needs to pray about here. Amen. You probably have heard Sister Arlene's daughter passed, and we're praying for the God of all comfort, to be with her and to minister to her family. Amen. Brother Wade will continue to hold up in prayer. Sister Marilyn will hold up in prayer. The Lord will do a work. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for those needs right now, and we got a couple of others. Jesus, we look to you, God, that you would strengthen Sister Arlene. Help her now, God, in the loss of her daughter. Help her, Lord God, with the comfort that you give, the God of all comfort. You know exactly what she needs right now. You know what she needs to witness to her family. You know what she needs, God, to be a light to her family. Oh, Jesus, anoint her, Lord. Help her, Lord. Inspire her, Lord. God, let the power of the Holy Ghost move upon her. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, be with Brother Wade, Lord. Be with Sister Marilyn, God. Oh, Savior, minister by your touch now. In the name of the Lord, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. Amen. Pastor Greg is still in Ecuador. Powerful move of the Holy Ghost there. We want the Lord to continue to minister to him and be his protector. Amen. That the Lord would watch over him and all of the team that's there and bring them home safely. Amen. Brother Mike, Sister Megan are going to Whitehorse. Is it in a couple of weeks? And we'll pray that the Lord would use them in a special way. Kayana, the dedication the end of the month, that things would continue to help and be in place, and the building and the construction being finished there. Amen. We want the Lord to minister. And then our services remaining in the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Praise God. All right. Because here's another revelation. God will not move 100%. He will not move in services we don't have. So we might as well have church. Praise God. In Jesus' name. Father, we ask you, minister and move, Lord, we pray, through the power of the Holy Ghost. God, that you would keep your hand upon Pastor Greg, all the other team members in Ecuador. God, move, we pray, and bless, we pray. In the name of Jesus, do a mighty work, O God, we pray. Hallelujah. Use Brother Mike, Sister Megan. Use them in a special way, God, as they go to Whitehorse. I pray your touch and your blessing upon them. In the name of Jesus, help with the church in Cayenne, God. Oh, Lord, bless the farmers. Bless, God, we pray. And all of the work that needs to be completed, everything that needs to happen, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise God. Amen, amen. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Amen. All right, greet one another, and we'll start service in just a few minutes.